The Truthfulness of God, number 9 in the Attributes of God series. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, July the 1st, 2015.
There are those who believe that theology is just not practical. They say things like, well, what I really need is not some theological lesson if I go to church. What I need is some relevant truth. I need some relevant truth that has some practical bearing on my life. I need some truth that's going to impact my life some way, and just in practical ways, daily. Well, I'm convinced that theology is eminently practical. I think it comes to bear every day in a multitude of ways in your life. What you think about God, what you understand about God, His nature, His word, His command, His will, dramatically impacts your life every day. If you don't think it does, you need to think again. How you perceive God and what He demands of you affects decisions you make. It affects the way you react to your circumstance, the way you react to people on your job or people in your neighborhood or people you run into or people in your family. It is very practical to study theology to understand the nature of our God and the nature of our relationship with Him. I'm amazed on a regular basis when I look at Facebook. Now see, I have a Facebook account. I just don't say anything because that's a permanent record. So I just troll. I just follow other people and look at what they say and what they think. What's interesting to me is how religious people are on Facebook. I mean, there are people that I've known for a long time and I know very well. And I see comments they make on Facebook, and I wouldn't recognize it's them making that comment because it's nothing that I've ever seen reflected outside of Facebook. I mean, calling on their prayer warriors to pray about certain circumstances or posting of pictures or quotes from Scripture and other things and talking about when and where they went to church and all those kind of things. The remarkable thing to me is what they then will post as something they like or something that they repost that they saw that I think, at the very least, that's inconsistent with being Christian. The position that you espoused a moment ago has nothing to do. In fact, it's contrary to this thing you just said you liked or you were in favor of. And I don't think that's any more true than what if anybody has seen on Facebook in the last few days, following the decision of the Supreme Court last Friday. I'm amazed at what some people who say they're Christian have posted and how they've reacted to that ruling of the Supreme Court. Sunday, I made the comment that we are heading for difficult days, and I firmly believe that. I don't think you have to be a meteorologist to know there's a storm on the horizon. I don't think you have to have great insight to know that the days are getting dark. Our faith is going to be tested in new ways. Our faith is going to be tested in profound ways. And I believe we are to respond with courage, with conviction, tempered with love and compassion. But above everything, we must respond with truth. Now why? Because our God is truth. We've been looking at the attributes of God, those things that mark Him uniquely as God, the things that set Him apart as divine, that He is separate from His creation. We've talked about the aseity of God, that He is self-existent, that He is eternal, that He has being within Himself, that He is a spirit being. That means He does not have a physical body. He's immaterial. Not immaterial as unimportant, but immaterial in that He doesn't have the constraints of a physical material body. That He is of necessity sovereign. As the creator of everything that exists and the one eternal being, He is sovereign over all of His creation. He is holy. That is, He is other, different, distinct. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere present. In every place of the creation, He is there. And He is everywhere at the same time, and everywhere that He is fully there, fully present, fully engaged, and acting as God in that place. That's what we mean when we say God is omnipresent. Not that there's a part of Him here and a part of Him in Africa and another part of Him in Europe. He is fully everywhere where He is, fully conscious, fully aware, fully engaged, and is sovereign and Lord over everything wherever He is. That He is omnipresent. That He is omniscient. That He knows everything. He has perfect knowledge of everything. That He is omnipotent. He has all power. And last time, that He is immutable. He does not change. So tonight we're going to deal with the truthfulness of God. And by the truthfulness of God, I mean that God is the source of all truth. Truth originates with God. He is the author of truth. He is the standard of truth. And He alone determines what is true. That's important for us to acknowledge. He is the author of truth, the standard of truth, and He determines what truth is. The Christian perspective is that God is the arbitrator and the final judge of truth. And the reason I start there is because this is part of what divides us from the culture we live in now. We have to start with something very basic. As we start to talk about the truthfulness of God, I have to start by saying truth actually exists. Now, that may sound ridiculous to you. That may sound to you like, why do you even need to say that? Of course, truth exists. Now, we live in a culture that denies that. We live in a culture that says, you know, what is truth? We don't know. Whatever you want it to be. Whatever you make it to be. Whatever you desire to be truth, that can be truth for you. And so a truth really doesn't exist. It's whatever we want to make it. And therefore, you can have your truth and I can have my truth and they can be contradictory, but that's okay. Because truth is whatever you want it to be in your circumstance. It is subjective rather than objective. It depends on my thoughts. It depends on my reasoning. It depends on my understanding. That's how our culture views truth. And that's part of the fundamental divide in our culture. But we, as the people of God, believe in truth with a capital T, as something that actually exists in itself. And it is an objective reality. It is something that is out there apart from us, that exists as itself, and does not depend on how I feel, how I think, what I've reasoned, what I want. Truth is here. And truth is truth. And while most of us, that's what we grew up understanding. That's how we looked at the world. That's how we understood things. It's not the way the world looks at it anymore. And we're considered oddballs because we hold such a strange view of things. So let's start with asking, what is truth? The simplest answer. Truth is reality. Truth is what is. Truth is the way things actually are. I was curious about that definition. So I went to a great authority on this, dictionary.com, and entered the word truth. And here's what dictionary.com defines as truth: the actual state of a matter, conformity with fact or reality, a verified or indisputable fact. Not bad. Truth is reality. Truth is what is actually there. That means that truth is not determined by feeling. It's not determined by what we think or a majority opinion or an exit poll. Truth is what actually is. And let's add to that, the position of the church, the way we look at it as the people of God, is that God alone determines what actually is. It's not left up to you. It's not left up to me. God determines what actually is. And this is the source of our current conflict. This is why we as the church cannot go along with the ruling of the Supreme Court of the United States June 26, 2015. Because the Supreme Court defined marriage as something God said it's not. And we don't have the freedom to redefine things however we want it to be. Because we believe there is such a thing as truth. And we believe that God has spoken and what God speaks is truth. He cannot lie. And as the sovereign creator of all that is, as the all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful God has declared what marriage is, that is the reality. And nine people in black robes cannot redefine it. We are not free to redefine it. It's already been defined for us by our Lord and our King. Now, having said that, that does not mean that we hate or we wish harm to come to those who disagree with us. We certainly do not. But we cannot and we must not give in on this issue or any other issue where truth is involved. Our point of view has to be, let God be true and every man be a liar. We'll not give. We'll not budge. Will not support. Therefore, we'll suffer the consequence, whatever they may be. And there may be severe consequence. Now, I was reading an article this week talking about the possible repercussions, and I think it's true because this has been coming for a while anyway. One of the first assaults that's going to come against the church is, well, if you refuse to accept the ruling of the Supreme Court, which is now the law of the land, then we will take away your tax-exempt status. So as churches, you'll pay taxes. And you won't get any credit for your contributions to the church because they'll no longer be tax-free. What do we do? We stand for the truth and we continue to give because our reason for giving and supporting the work of God here and around the world is not because we get tax credit, but because our Lord says the kingdom of God has to be financed and this is the way it's to be done. It'll cost us. Budgets will have to be cut. We'll have to restructure. There'll be other things have to be done. And your pastor may have to go get a job. But so be it. We cannot, we will not, we must not yield this kind of ground because we must stand for the truth of God and we must speak the truth of God. So what does the scripture say about truth and God? First of all, truth is divine. That is, truth is God's truth. It originates with God and not with man. When we talk about truth, we're not talking about something that was decided here. We're not talking about what man has, the conclusion that man has come to. We're talking about what God has given to us, what God has revealed to us. We don't decide what is true. The sovereign, holy, wise God has already determined truth. This is why we started where we started in this series. We started with God being eternal, with God having being within himself, with him being supreme, that he is sovereign, that he is holy, that he knows everything, that he has all power, now we come to the issue of truth. Because he is all these things, he is truth. What he speaks is the truth. It all goes together. He, because of who he is, decides what is true. Psalm 31 and verse 5, "You have redeemed me, O God of truth." So the scripture speaks of God as the God of truth. Isaiah 65, 16, "So that he who blesses himself in the land shall bless himself by the God of truth, and he who takes an oath in the land shall swear by the God of truth." So taking an oath and doing those things, I swear by God because he is the truth. He is the God of truth. John 14, 6, remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It's part of who he is. In Ephesians 4 and verse 21, "The truth is in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth." John 14 and verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." John 15, 26, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." John 16, verse 13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." Or take John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, that prologue, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And apart from him, not one thing has come into being which has ever come into being." Verse 14, "And it's that Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And actually what the Greek text says is grace and truth have their being in him. Truth is divine. It is given by God. It is revealed to us by our loving, gracious Father. Second, truth is absolute. Because of who it comes from, it is absolute. When we speak of the truth of God as divine, we mean it is the truth. It is not a truth. It's concrete, it's clear, it's distinct. And truth is discriminating because there is right and wrong. There is truth and error. And again, that puts us in conflict with the culture around us. But 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." It's God's revelation. It is God speaking to us. It is God declaring his person and his will and his desires and his commands to us. And it is the word of truth. Romans 3, 4, I referred to it earlier. "Let God be true, though everyone were a liar." Or consider the counterbalance to that in John 8, 44, when Jesus speaking to those gathered around him, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." God is truth, and Satan is a liar. There is clear distinction between the two. And because there is, truth draws a line in the sand and demands a choice be made. Truth is absolute. We don't have any ground. We don't have any basis for our saying, "Well, this is true, but we just need to let it slide. It's no big deal." No, truth matters. And when we speak of the truth of God revealed to us, it matters because the souls of men and women lie in the balance. Matters. And we don't do anyone any favors by backing off the truth and acting as if it doesn't really matter. Now, having said that, that is not an excuse for arrogance. It's not an excuse for hate. It's not an excuse for pride. When we speak the absolute truth of God, we do so recognizing it's not my truth. I don't have any reason to be superior to anybody. It's God's truth. And I am a sinful, broken man, but God has given His word to me, and He expects me to share His truth with others. To the best of my ability, in love and grace and compassion. There's no reason for smugness. There's no reason for arrogance. Truth is absolute. Truth is objective. It's critical for our understanding the struggles that we're in. Truth exists outside of us, and it's propositional. It's stated in clear words. It's not determined by my feelings, or it's not subjective. I can't say, well, I hear that, but I don't see it that way, so I'm going to redefine it. We can't compromise at that point. We can't yield on these issues of truth. We can't yield on issues like same-sex marriage and gender identity or the exclusive nature of the gospel. Can't compromise on that. To stand for the truth is not to hate anybody. To disagree with someone is not to hate them. And it never was understood that way until recent years. And now, if we say something that contradicts someone, well, why do you hate them? I don't. But here's the interesting thing. When people talk in those terms, when we had that whole controversy a few years ago about say no to hate and all that stuff started, I remember having those conversations. So you're in favor of hate? No. Well, you disagree with these people? Well, yeah. And I often disagree with my children. But I don't hate them. I love them. I'm disappointed in what they've done. But I don't hate them at all. Here's the problem. Those who talk in those terms, it's always a one-way street. If you disagree with them, then you hate, but they never hate when they disagree with you. Because I asked the question to one who had accused me of hate. I said, am I to assume that you hate me because I said something different than you said? And he was incredulous. He said, of course not. I said, then why don't you extend the same courtesy to me? Have I acted toward you in anger? Have I ever said anything to indicate to you that I despise you as a person? No. We are to speak the truth, and that truth is objective. But we're to speak it in love and grace. Matthew 5:18, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not a iota, not a dot, not the smallest letter or the least stroke of the pen will pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Truly, or truly, truly. That everything God says is true. Everything the Lord Jesus says is true. But when the Lord Jesus says truly, truly, He's saying, red flag, mark it, underline it, highlight it in yellow, this is another category. This is a supreme truth. The Word of God stands. It is objective and it is true. Also, truth is singular. By that I mean all truth is related. It's not truths plural, it's truth, as in a body of truth. In other words, the Old Testament doesn't contradict the New Testament, and truth holds together in a unified body. This is why Jude 3 speaks of the truth once and for all delivered to the saints. The truth of the faith once and for all delivered. It is the truth. It's singular. You take Genesis to Revelation is one story. It's one truth. It's a body that holds together, that hangs together. And truth is that way. When we confess that truth is singular, we mean God doesn't speak out of both sides of His mouth. And what God speaks is straight and true. Truth is immutable. That is, it does not change. You can refer to last week's study. Because all those things we said about God is equally true of His truth. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forever. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. Or Luke 16:17, it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. For this reason, because it is singular, because it is immutable, because it is objective, it is reliable and trustworthy. That leads us to the next thing. Truth is universal. Because truth is everything we've already defined it to be, it is true for everyone, in every place, at all times. So we can't say, well, this was true in Israel, but it's no longer true. If it was God's truth to Israel thousands of years ago, it is still true today. And if it's true for Israel, it's true for us. If it's true for us in Israel, it's true for Africans. If it's true for us, it's true for South America. We just go on because everyone in every place at all time, it transcends culture and generations and gender. His truth is universal. We don't have one set of truth and the pagans have another set of truth. There is one truth. Truth is illuminating. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. The truth of God shines, enabling us to understand the world in a proper way. If truth is reality, it is the word of God that helps us see reality. It helps us understand what it is we're looking at. As we look through a glass darkly, the Word of God enlightens us to understand what is actually there and what is actually true. Because truth is divine, because it is absolute, because it is objective, because it is singular, because it is immutable and universal and illuminating, it brings us to the last thing I want to emphasize, and that is truth is authoritative. Because of all those other things, because of all the things that we've said, then we can come to the conclusion, therefore, truth is authoritative. Truth is sovereign, and it has the right to order our lives. And the truth, as God has revealed it to us, calls for action. You can't just say, well, I got it. I understand, it's true, and I believe it, and I feel strongly about it in my heart. No, truth calls action. There is something we must do because of the truth. There are things that we must say. There are things that we must do. There are things that we must avoid. So to say that the truth is authoritative means that it makes demands on us. We have to act upon the truth. So, can you see this is a practical thing? Can you see this is something that will impact your life daily? It's going to affect everything. You're offered a new job, and you try to discern the truth, whether this is the will of God or not. And you have to think through all of the things related to the truth of God before you make the decision. Because you want to follow the truth and you want to follow the will of God and you want to do the thing that is right and pleasing in the sight of God. So it's not a simple matter of you making up your own mind and you deciding for you what is best and right for you. But seeking the will of God, seeking the truth, seeking to be obedient. It responds the way we react to the ruling last Friday. Because I can't just decide, well, you know, I don't like same-sex couples. I don't like the idea of them getting married. And that whole thing disgusts me. That can't be the basis of my decision. My decision must be based on the truth as revealed in Scripture. And here's the thing about the truth. The truth won't let you get off so easy by just saying, that disgusts me and I don't want anything to do with it. The truth says that's a violation of the law and the will of God. And the demand of God is not that you be angry and disgusted, but that you be broken and you weep and you mourn. Because what it means is there are people who are lost and they'll die and they'll go to hell without the truth of God. And there's no reason to glory in that, but only to be broken. And it means that I may say to someone who I consider my friend, no, I will not perform your wedding ceremony, and you cannot have it in my church. But you need to understand, while I will not participate in it, and while I will not be a part of it, I love you. And you are my friend. And I will continue to be your friend, and you'll have to decide whether you'll be mine or not. But whatever you decide will not change how I feel toward you. Because the same God who tells me I can't do that tells me I can't write you off. But I'm commanded to love you and to care for you and to pray for you, because that too is the truth of God revealed. The truth is demanding. It impacts the discussions we have with our friends over all kinds of issues. May God grant that we understand His attributes. We understand who He is so that we can know Him and love Him and serve Him more effectively. But knowing the truth puts great demands on us, because it demands that we order our lives according to the truth.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.